From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. As if the massive changes in Congress didn't shake things up enough in Washington, the White House came forth with its own revelation yesterday. U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld is stepping down. Soon we'll be joined by former U.S. Secretary of the Army Togo D. West Jr. to talk about what's next. But first, a look at Secretary Rumsfeld's tenure. Blunt, controversial, and very much a part of the president's inner circle, Donald Rumsfeld became to some a symbol of the very war he oversaw. And he has constantly defended the administration's Iraq policy to reporters.
This is complicated stuff. It's difficult. We're looking out in the future. No one can predict the future with absolute certainty. So you ought to just back off, take a look at it. Relax.
In 1975, under President Gerald Ford, he was named the youngest ever Secretary of Defense. In 2001, he came back to the same post under President George W. Bush. And President Bush claimed that he backed his defense secretary unequivocally. But political realities seem to have taken a toll on old promises and previous war strategies. Recently, the White House dropped its slogan for the Iraq War, Stay the Course. The president came under attack from members of his own party, and finally, yesterday, the president acted. He paid tribute to Mr. Rumsfeld after accepting his resignation.
History will record that on Don Rumsfeld's watch, the men and women of our military overthrew two terrorist regimes, liberated some 50 million people, brought justice to the terrorist Zarqawi and scores of senior al-Qaeda operatives, and helped stop new terrorist attacks on our people. America is safer and the world is more secure because of the service and the leadership of Donald Rumsfeld.
In thanking the president, outgoing Secretary Rumsfeld offered no regret for a war gone wrong and maintained the American public simply didn't understand.
It is not well known. It was not well understood. It is complex for people to comprehend. And I know with certainty that over time, the contributions you've made will be recorded by history.
The president's choice for Rumsfeld's successor, Bob Gates, who served as director of Central Intelligence under the president's own father.
Because so many of America's sons and daughters in our armed forces are in harm's way, I did not hesitate when the president asked me to return to duty. If confirmed by the Senate, I will serve with all my heart and with gratitude to the president for giving me the opportunity to do so.
That was the man President Bush tapped as the next U.S. Secretary of Defense, former Central Intelligence Chief Bob Gates. For more on how the leadership change will affect America's course in Iraq, we turn now to Togo D. West, Jr., the former Secretary of both the Army and of Veterans Affairs under President Clinton. Secretary West, great to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you, Farai.
So what do you think about this latest development? I mean, does this mean that the course of the Iraq War, which we spoke about previously on News and Notes, is going to shift?
You know, there's an old line that Inspector Jacques Clouseau used to use, played by Peter Sellers, I suspect everyone, I suspect no one. It means lots, but it also probably means less than people anticipate. George Bush was going to have to make some adjustments in any event. Whoever was Secretary of Defense. That much was clear. The voices of that many Americans voting in so certain a way cannot be ignored, even though sometimes it appeared that this presidency could ignore a lot of contrary voices. So that was going to have to change. The change from Rumsfeld, first of all, has both substance and style and symbolism. Yes? The president changed, but he also changed at a time, the day after the election, that showed, hey, I'm not irrelevant. I'm still in control, and I can still command, and I can still take a little bit of the news headlines. Substance, well, yes. This gives him a chance to adopt a different policy in Iran that hopefully leads to more accommodation to what the people of the United States are beginning to demand.
What you're talking about is not going to war directly in any way with the country of Iran.
Yes, and a change in the policy in Iraq. With respect to Iran, we seem to be headed, in a direction that was going to call for confrontation. That's not going to be the Gates style, I don't think. And with Iraq, the demand that we make an effort to begin to reduce our long-term commitment there.
Secretary West, you mentioned the groundswell of public opinion that seems to have preceded this, and you used to be the president of the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, which is a Washington think tank that focuses on issues of concern to the African-American community. The African-American community has been very vocal in saying, don't want to be in this war, need to get out, don't want to send our kids over there. Have African-American communities and other communities of color had an influence on these debates about war strategy?
Oh, I'm sure they have. But remember, one of the things that so often is lost is that African-American communities often exemplify American traditions in even greater strength than non-African-Americans realize. Is there a strain of conservatism with respect to issues of morality? It's there. And is there a sense that we don't go to war against a country that has not yet gone to war against us? That's there, too. And is there a belief that we don't send our sons and daughters overseas to execute policies that seem to be not in accord with America's best traditions and morality? That's there in the community as well. So, yes, they have had an effect. They have been forceful. They've made their views known. But in many ways, they represent what America thinks.
Maybe you can unpack something for me. I mean, you were Secretary of the Army and Secretary of Veterans Affairs. How does the Secretary of the Army interact with the head of the Department of Defense? You gave us some great insight into how the war might unfold and possible, although people don't want to talk about it this way, exit strategies. But what are the other folks who are involved with national security going to do now as there's this big power shift?
Well, in answer to the first question, how does the Secretary of the Army interact with the Secretary of Defense, his deputy, and his various under and assistant secretaries? The answer, of course, is in whatever way the Secretary of Defense wants. There is some statutory authority for the Secretary of the Army. But in the final analysis, the secretaries of the military departments report to the Secretary of Defense. They are responsible for equipping and training and leading and seeing to the funding of the respective military forces that they control. They are the only command authority for their respective forces in the Pentagon in terms of military justice. And they provide advice to the Secretary of Defense and the like. So that's in answer to the first question. They do have an extraordinary viewpoint from seeing both how defense is being managed and also how things in the field are going, because the chiefs of staff of the respective services report to them and are obliged by statute to keep them informed on operations. So they get a good sense of how things are working, for example, in Iraq with our sons and daughters, how things are actually transpiring there under the effect of gunfire and roadside bombs and the like.
Now, you know, on a personal level, I have had a member of my family fighting in Iraq, and I can't be sure, but I would suspect after seeing some of his platoon members die, he may not sign up for another tour. What's going to happen to the military as this war continues and as the troops begin to feel perhaps no less loyal to the U.S., but much more vulnerable than they ever have?
Well, whatever is going to happen, Faraya, has already begun to start. We're already beginning to see the effects on families of deployments that are extended, of deployments that once they seem to be over and they come home, they find out that they'll be going back again, and sometimes for a third time. This obviously has an impact on the willingness of mothers, especially mothers, to agree that their 17 and 18-year-olds in high school can be interviewed by recruiters and talked to about going over there. The fact is that you are trying to recruit the youngster, but what mom has to say, what the family has to say, has an awful impact. This is not a lessening of the patriotism on the part of our young men and women, black or white or brown or red or yellow, or a lessening of the patriotism of their families. This is simply a realization that when all else is looked at, when all else is put aside, we care about those whom we have brought into this world. It's okay for them to go and serve our country, but we want to be convinced that they're doing it for the right reasons, under the very best of leadership and with the very best of support of equipment and oversight of the policies that keep them there. That's the effect on recruiting. It doesn't mean that people are less likely to go, but it does mean that families worry more, and when they worry, their youngsters take a little bit longer to make up their minds to go. And often they don't decide to remain afterwards if the policies require them to concede that they may have to go back again and again.
Finally and briefly, what do you see Bob Gates's nomination meaning? What does it mean about the direction that the military is going to take? We have less than a minute, but let me know your brief thoughts.
Okay, let me say this quickly. There are several things. Analysts are already looking at the fact, of course, that Bob Gates is from the inner circle of Bush 41. That is, he was there at the agency. He did several things in the White House and the like. Secondly, Bob Gates is a very different background than he came up in national security. He was a careerist at the CIA. And so whatever that little appearance of a war or a distrust or an uncertainty between the Pentagon under Rumsfeld and the intelligence agencies it may have been, we can expect that to be mended and perhaps for intelligence to use in a more unified way. Relationships amongst the national security team should be better. And of course, as always, this gives the president a chance to go forward with a different policy in Iraq.
Well, Secretary West, we thank you for joining us and look forward to having you on again.
It's always a pleasure.
Togo D. West Jr. is the former Secretary of both the Army and Veterans Affairs under President Clinton.